I'm going to begin with a quick review of what we did last week, and then we'll start from there. It looks like most of you were here last week, so from the names, from our member, so I think we can just get our regular start. Last week we talked about Hanukkah before Hanukkah, but that was the main topic, showing how the date of the 24th of Kislev was an important time of the year. Back in the time of Haggai, I'm pretty sure we also saw the Midrash about Adam HaRishon. We talked about that, didn't we? The Midrash about, just remind me, make sure the chat's working. We talked about the Gemara of Adazar. Okay. Now we're in good shape. What we didn't talk about was Zachariah. We mentioned Zachariah, but we didn't see Zachariah inside. Today we're going to start our shiur talking about Zachariah and seeing how Zachariah is going to be going to fill in the background to help us understand how Chazal treated Hanukkah. It happened to be this morning for Shabbos' Haftarah for Shabbos Hanukkah. Quickly we'll go over the timeline, the events. In our shiur last week, we talked about Hanukkah before Hanukkah, and saw not just how the date was an important date in the book of Haggai, but the time period was an important time period in Jewish history, where the Jewish people, after being in exile for about 70 years, finally returned with the hopes of rebuilding a temple. It wasn't the most ideal redemption. It wasn't the redemption everyone was hoping for in the beginning of Bayit Sheni, but it was some type of redemption. They had permission from the Persian king to rebuild the temple. And you could look at that as, oh, of all things a joke, and that's the way a lot of people looked at it. Anyone who saw the first Beit HaMikdash was crying, saw how poor the new one was looking, the economy was bad, the local population was not Jewish, the majority of the people in Israel at that time weren't Jewish, and there was even though there was an excitement when they first returned in the time of Koresh, when that first return pretty much fizzled out, and nothing came of it. 20 years later, when Dayavish becomes king, and Haggai begins his Nevuot that are recorded, we're in a situation where the people are saying it's not time to build, and Haggai turns everything around and says that it is time to build. We're going to begin by taking a quick look at the book of Zachariah. If you have the Tanakh with you, take a look at Zachariah Aleph. If you have your source sheet, you can simply take a look at the source sheet that we called 18 for Hanukkah. Notice how the beginning of Zachariah again is the exact same year, which is the first year of the second year of Dayavish, and it begins in the 8th month and then quickly moves to the 10th month. If you look in Zachariah, what seems to be Zachariah's first message? Take a quick look, and everyone see why it's the same time period, it's the same year. Let's open up in mind. It's the same year as taking care of Dayavish, the same as Haggai. Zachariah opens up his statement with saying, Katzach Hashem Alechem Katzach. God's been angry with you. And then, V'mat Alechem, Kol Ma'ashem Tzvot, Shuv Eleinu Ma'ashem Tzvot, Lo Shuv Alechem, Ma'ashem Tzvot. God's telling you, you return to me, and I'll return to you. And then he says, Altim Kavotechem Asher Kru Alechem Anavim HaRishonim Nemor, Kol Ma'ashem Tzvot, Shuv Eleinu Midach Lechem Ra'im, Umar Alechem Ha'ra'im, V'lo Shavu, V'lo Ikshivu, Eleinu Ma'ashem, etc. He's telling them, if you want this redemption to work, you have to do proper tshuva. And don't be like your forefathers, who the Nevin Rishonim, when he says Nevin Rishonim, is what we refer to as Nevin Achronim, he's talking about Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, and probably also Yishayahu and all the Nevin who predicted the Korban in the first place, because says, there's no point in return if your behavior is not better than the behavior of the people who are exiled because of that behavior. And therefore, with all this talk of return that Haggai is talking about, all this talk about building, it's almost pointless if the people's behavior isn't exemplary the way that it didn't expect it back then. It goes on that he has a vision. We're not going to read all of Zachariah, but we're going to focus more on Perek Aleph. But the background of his vision in Perek Aleph is important. He has a vision later on in year 11 And I'm sorry, in year two of Dayavish, in Chodesh Shvat, in the 11th month, it begins in Pasuk Zayin, and he sees a vision at night, someone riding on a red horse, between the lilies. It's a strange vision, but he tries to understand what it is. And we're going to pick up that Nevuah, Pasuk Yedet, in Perek Aleph. The Hashem spoke that Matat, the Lot Rachim, it's Yushalayim, it's Ariyudah, there's Amtet, there's Shibim Shema. And the Malach, in that vision, comes to God, and asks God, how long are we going to wait for you to have mercy on Yerushalayim, whose anger has been kindled at that city for the last 7 years? These 7 years is probably a really fun topic. They're not Yirmiyahu's 70 years, they're different 70 years. But from here we learn that it was 7 years not just from the time that Babylonian power, but also 7 years from the time the first place of Mikdash was destroyed until the second year of Dayavish when the second one is being built. The Malach answers him something good. He doesn't, God's going to come and help. We're going to skip to Pasuk Tet Zayin, which we talk about every day in Tzivah. V'chein kol mar Hashem Tzvot, v'chein kol mar Hashem, shafti Yerushalayim berachamim, biti ibaneba, v'ma Hashem Tzvot, v'kavi neteh al Yerushalayim. What God's answer to the Malach? He tells him, look carefully at Pasuk Tet Zayin, shafti Yerushalayim berachamim, I'm going to return to Yerushalayim with mercy. Biti ibaneba, my house will be built there, v'ma Hashem Tzvot, God's saying, and I'm going to have building, Kavi Netar Yerushalayim, Kavi is usually a building line, and we're going to start measuring and rebuilding the city of Yerushalayim. Od Karat Lemor, Kol Mashem Tzvot, Od Tzvutzen Arayim Mito, and Nicham Hashem Od Etzion, Bachar of Yerushalayim. My city is going to be looked up to again, it's going to be built properly again. This is one of the famous Nevuot of Zecharia, which is very popular today as well. Why am I saying this passage we refer to every day? That pasuk that Tzadik is talking about, I want to show you how all these topics which lead right into Hanukkah are very much part of our daily Judaism. There's a bracha we make every day in Shemoneh Esrei, which says, "V'lushayim lecha brachim tashuv v'tishkam b'tochah kashuv nivarta." We're asking God that He returns to Yerushalayim and rebuild His Shechinah should return there, and His Shechinah should return kashuv nivarta uvnei otam b'karav haminu, and He should build it as He promised. The kashuv nivarta, as you promised, the pasuk is referring to is the pasuk in Tzadik right here, which we read, and that's why we use the word rachamim in the beginning of bracha. Hashem yachab rachamim tashu. There's also minig of Ashkenaz when we bench in Tfilat and Berkat Hamazon, which they b'nei Yerushalayim amen. The minig in Ashkenaz is they b'nei brachamav Yerushalayim amen. To look at the Mishnah Berurah, the reason for adding the word rachamim in that bracha, we're asking God to help us through mercy to build Yerushalayim. The source is this pasuk here in Tzadik. And the other minhag, the minhag in Shulchan Aruch brings down, they say, "Bnei Yerushalayim." That's a question in the bracha. Are we asking God that Yerushalayim should be built because we deserve it? Yerushalayim should be built even though we don't deserve it. So either way, we want Yerushalayim to be built. The question is what we say in the bracha. Are we saying we're never going to be worthy to do it with mercy? Or are we saying, encouraging ourselves, we should be worthy of building Yerushalayim? That's the background. That's Chariah in a nutshell. Tzadik, in a nutshell, is telling the people that there's hope for Yerushalayim and it can be built, but on the conditions of the people do proper tshuva. Then he has another vision in the beginning of Perek Bet, another famous one. We'll pick up with Pasuk Hei in Perek Bet, all again in the 11th month of the second year. Remember, this is 2 months after Hanukkah that year, 2 months after, if you remember, in Haggai, they broke ground on the temple. On Hanukkah, on the 9th month, on the 21st, 4th, the 25th day of the 9th month, they broke ground. It's going to take another 4 years to finish building it. But this is towards the spring when they're just getting probably the, maybe getting the first foundation laid. Zechariah is giving them all these nevuot of hope, and this will be a classic one. Remember again the setting, the people are down and depressed, this can't be redemption, no one's living here, the economy is bad. The enemy's giving us trouble, and the city looks pretty depressing. And therefore, he sees in Pasuk Hey, the Sinai of the Rebbe, Nei Ish V'Yadah Chevel Mida, he saw someone with a measuring line, which is, it's so beautiful. If you know what a Chevel Mida is, when you build a wall, you take a string, and you sort of, you put one, I use a little wire here, you take a string, and you put it from here to here, you put one rock over here, one rock on one side, and then another rock on the other side, and put a string between them, and then you start putting your bricks, one next to the other, along the line. So that's called a chetel midah. The kav is the perpendicular one, and the kav is the chetel midah is the horizontal one. Now, that's exactly what's going on in the city of Yerushalayim at that time. If they just broke ground on Hanukkah 2 months earlier, and now Sari gives this nevuah 2 months later, exactly what's happening, they're laying the bricks, the first, second, third row, around the bottom of the Mikdash. So seeing a chetel midah in a vision is not just something by chance, it's exactly what's going on outside. And Sari gives it a beautiful meaning. Yomar hineh ataoveth, anataoveth, v'meilai, l'modit Yerushalayim v'rod kamaruch v'ad v'kamarucha. He asked the Malach, where are you going? He says, I'm going to measure how wide and how long is the city. One Malach was measuring the city, the existing city, telling him another one's leaving, another one coming. Go tell the previous Malach saying, don't bother building a wall. Why build a wall? So it's like meaningful today. Why build a wall in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is going to become so big, there will be no need for a wall anymore. Prosot Tishet Yerushalayim means Yerushalayim will be a city without a wall. Why? Mirod Adamu Behemah B'tocha. Because there's so many people and animals living in the city, there's so much cattle and people, the city will be so bustling with life and progress that there won't be a need for a wall anymore. Vani Eyela Num Hashem Chomat Esh Tavid L'Chodei B'tocha. God saying, I'll be a wall of fire around the city, and there's no need for a physical wall. To simply be the wall of God will surround and protect the city. With that background, leads us right to the Afsara, which is our main topic today. The Afsara of Shabbat Hanukkah, which the modern drush of the Afsara will be a very famous one, which we'll get to very soon. In Pasuk Yudalad, if you only have a Chumash with you and don't have a Tanakh, then you can pick up this Afsara from your... from the Torah, from Shabbat Chanan or Shabbat Alotha. And Perazim Pasek Yidalad, we have a Pasek we all know by heart. Rani v'simchi bat Zion, ki niva v'shachanti b'tok Yom Hashem. The Pasek we read in today's Torah, which is, says everything, I'm going to ask a little question to make sure people are awake. It says, Rani v'simchi bat Zion, ki niva v'shachanti b'tokach. God says, be happy. Rani, rejoice and be happy, daughter of Zion or bat Zion, because I'm coming to return. What kind of people do you say be happy to? In other words, the Navi is telling the people, be happy. What can you assume about the people? I'm just checking the chat to make sure you guys are awake. Someone tell me in chat or in speaking, what's the reason why the Navi has to tell the people to be happy? Okay, exactly. Okay. When you say the joke we have nowadays, when someone says you're looking good, that's a sign you're getting old. And when someone comes up to you and says, look how good you look today, that and begin to worry, maybe you don't look so good. I mean, I expect you to look worse. So the same thing, if someone tells you, be happy, smile, be happy, or don't worry. Remember, Avram by Ben of Tarim, God tells him, don't worry. And Yaakov, God tells him, don't worry, going down to Egypt. That means there's something to worry about. That opening line of the Hafsar, which you read this morning, is so meaningful to the setting. The people, again, are down and depressed. And therefore, they say, Roni v'simchi bat Zion, ki niva v'shachanti b'tochach. But that's not enough just simply to be happy. The Shekhinah will return. And on top of that, the Nuvu goyim rabim al Hashem b'yomuhu, v'yud l'l'am v'shachanti b'tochach, v'yidat k'Hashem tol shukhani alayich. We're not just going to be that God's going to bring a Shekhinah and He'll be with us. We'll return to our stature as a nation that other people look up to. Other nations will come and look up to us. If you remember the setting, the people giving him a hard time, the local population is angry with them, they want them out of there, they have trouble with the Persian government, there's no sovereignty. And he's saying, not only is the Shekhinah going to return, one day, people will come and look up to you. You won't be a third-rate nation getting held out from other people. You're going to be a secure nation on your own, and other people will join you and gather to you and look up to you. And then Pasuk says, Yisrael will return to its portion, its own nachala, and God will choose again with Yerushalayim. God's waking up. The imagery that Tzachariah is using, as we find in many other Nevi'im earlier, God's going to wake up from his like a lion cub waking up from his sleep. God's waking up from his own kotrol, from his it's like it compares to a cub who's been sleeping or a lion been sleeping, and then waking up, Yitzorer. From his ma'on, from his resting place, and then roaring. That's how God's going to come around and make things better. So that's the opening line here of Haftarah, which is a beautiful continuation of the first two parakim of Sefaria. Now again, I mentioned last week that in contrast to Haggai, who talks about the return to sovereignty and the return to prosperity, Haggai can put more of an emphasis on the need to do tshuva. And in Perek Gimel and Perek Daled, which would be the rest of Haftarah, he talks about a double message. Perek Gimel will be a message to the Yeshua, to the Kohen Gadol, and Perek Daled will be a message to Zechariah, to the king elect. If you remember the cast that we talked about, Haggai and Zechariah were the Nevi'im, the political leader is Zerubbabel, who's a Pecha, he's the governor. And Haggai says that one day maybe you're going to become now the governor. That was Haggai's last book. On the 24th of Kislev, was Zerubbabel. If you look at the end of Haggai again, in Perek Bet Pasachav Aleph, there'll be a political people and things are going to turn around and things will become better again. That was his big hope to to Zerubbabel. Now Zechariah is going to give also a nevuah to the two of them, both to Yeshua the Kohen Gadol and to Zerubbabel the king elect. We'll look briefly at the nevuah to Yeshua, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. V'reini Hashem et Yeshua HaKohen HaGadol Omed Lifnei Malach Hashem V'Satan Omed Al Yimino L'Titno. Notice, the nevuah to Yeshua is again a vision. All the visions that Zechariah has aren't just visions. He's simply looking out his window. He sees Yeshua HaKohen HaGadol in a vision. That's the same leader who's working on the Mizbeach and helping build the temple. He sees building lines. He sees walls being built. And therefore, he sees Yeshua in his vision, and the Satan is, we'll see what he's first like, the Satan, is standing next to him to sort of mislead him. He's being challenged. He's telling the Satan is trying to discourage the people from building, discourage the people from returning and growing. He says, be nice to them. He's yelling at the Satan. He says, who is this people? This people is the Ud Mutsame Esh. An Ud is a poking stick. If you make a cookout and you have coals or a campfire and you have a long stick that you poke the coals with and move them around, that's called an Ud. And an Ud is it used to be burnt at the end and it's like still smoking a little bit, but it's sort of burnt out. He says, this nation that's returned, Yeshua and the people returned, is like a piece of stick that was once burnt from a big fire, but something that remains. I mean, have rachmanis on them after such a destruction that the people have been through in such a terrible exile. These people finally returned, treat them like an ud mutsam me'esh. Then Yeshua yalavush bugerim tzoim, v'omidich ne'malach. In this vision, Yeshua the Kohen Gadol was dressed with dirty clothes. So in Hebrew is actually excrement. But tzoim is with dirty clothes. I mean, he's coming back from a sort of maybe some bad history in his behavior. And I'm taking away your dirty clothes and giving you nice, beautiful, nice new clothes. I mean, the kona, or the people, the kohanim, who Yeshua is representing, were full of maybe bad behavior, maybe even sins. God says, I'm going to take away your sins. I'm giving you a new chance, a new start. He's going to get new big day kohanah on the kohen. They'll be clean, they'll be new. Again, all representing a new start in the mikdash. And then we have the final, the yad is a yi'ud, is a destiny, is a charge. The malach is the charge to Yeshua. And listen to the charge, which is, again, Zechariah's whole point, Pasuk Zayin. Kol Marshem Tzvot, Im Bidrachan Tilech, Vibet Mishmarti Tishmor, Vegam Atat Tadin Et Biti, Vegam Tishmor Chatzirai, Vegatat Echad Malachim, Vein Homdin Ha'ele. He tells the Kohen, we're beginning something new now, but it's up to you. On what condition will this actually happen? Im Bidrachan Tilech, if you follow my ways, Vibet Mishmarti Tishmor, you follow my Mishmer Tishem, Har Gar Shem, It's like the pasuk that God tells Yitzchak about Avraham, you know, Ekev Esher Shem Avraham Lokoli, Vayishmor Mishmarti, Mitzvot Taichu Kotai Tekorotai. You guard me. You protect my image as a Kohen. Become a Tatadina Beti, you're going to be the judge. The Kohenim have to judge the people. Become Tishmor Chatzar, you'll be in charge of the Mikdash. If the tribe of the Kohenim do their job properly, then these pillars, they're not going up. Again, they're constructing the Mikdash, and now they see pillars. The walls aren't finished yet. They see pillars going up. Your offspring and your Shevet, the Kohen, will be able to walk freely and proudly through this Beit HaMikdash you're building. Shmana Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Atah Berecha Yoshim Lefanecha Ki Anshei Mofet Hema Ki Nei Mevi Et Abdi Tzemach. You now, you and your people working with you, you're a Mofet, you'll be a sign, you'll be a wonder for the people. But I'm going to bring Tzemach, who's referring to Melech HaMashiach, who's referring to the king that's going to now become sovereign and run the country. And then he talks about this stone that he sees is going to be have like seven eyes or seven faucets coming out. And I'm going to Kineya Evan, Asher Natati Lifnei Yeshua Evan Achad Shiva Einayim Hini Maftech Tzuchan U'Mashem Tzvot U'Mashtif Et Avon Ha'ar Tehi B'Yom Achad B'Yom Ahun U'Mashem Tzvot Tikru Ish L'Reihu Atachat Kefen V'Atachat Teina. In a nutshell, God's saying I'm going to return, I'm going to clean away the sin of the people, I'm going to give them like a Yom Kippur type of setting, I'm going to give them a new start. I'll get rid of the sin of the country, and everyone will be friendly to one another again. Ishura'eu, we'll call each other. Ishtachet Gafno, Ishtachet Teinav Gafno, the same stukim we have in Bat Shlomo, in the end of Parakei. Right before, if you know Parakei, if you have your Tzach with you, the imagery of Ishtachet Gafno, Ishtachet Teinato, and being kind to one another, if you look in Malachim Aleph, in the end of Parakei, or the beginning of Parakei, right before it talks about the construction of the Mikdash in Tzimlachim Aleph is Prakim Vav through Chet through Tet. It's chapters 6, 7, and 8 in Tzimlachim Aleph describes how Shlomo built the Beit Mikdash. But in the introduction to that, in the beginning of Parakei Pasakei, says, Veishet Yuzav Yisrael Levetach Ishtachat Gafno Betachateno Midan Dan Bersheva Ko Yimei Shlomo. That's describing the serenity and the peace among the people of Israel at that time that leads to, in Paragraph, the building of the Mikdash by Shlomo, which is all described in Paragraph 9 and Chet. So here you have, this is how he's talking about we can return now to the time period of Shlomo. The return by Sheni can again be as great, as bigger, if not even bigger, than by Rishon. But notice over and over again, Chaya's main point, that the return to Yerushalayim now, rebuilding the temple, has to go hand in hand with Im et Rochai Telech, Im et Rochai Telech, Im et Mishparti Tishmor. Perek Dalet is not just famous as far as the Haftarah from Shabbos goes, but if you're all familiar with the, actually I'm going to ask that a question, we'll read two lines and you'll tell me where you've seen this before. Ve'ashav ha-malach ha-doveri v'ayir'eni kish asher yom mishmato. A second vision. He saw the vision of Yeshua, and now he's going to see a vision of Zechariah. He's going to wake him, make someone wake him from his sleep. What do you see? Vomar, Ra'iti v'nei menorah zahav kulo. I saw a golden menorah. The gula vaur, with a sort of a gula, something on top of it. The shiva nerotei alea. Shiva mutzakot, the nerotei shor rosha. Seven sticks to this menorah. Ushnei titim aleh, two olives, olive branches, and two olives on top of it. Echad b'mina gula, echad b'atzmola. One to the one central candle, two olive branches on the side, one to the right and one to the left of the central piece. Van b'mar l'machad over b'ma'il avni. He wants to know what's the meaning of this menorah. Anyone know where we have a menorah with this type of imagery in modern day Israel? It's a real easy question. Okay, okay, Israel coat of arms, but where is it located? Where do we see it? Yeah, it's a symbol of the state of Israel, and the menorah outside the Knesset is pretty much symbol after this this menorah. So is it two? I think in the modern day one, it's olive branches on top, not just olive. Zeitim v'Zayin can mean an olive tree or the olive itself. And now the question is, what's the meaning of this symbol? And this one of the most beautiful things the state of Israel did course, the joke is that's why it's outside the Knesset and not inside the Knesset, the symbol of the menorah. But choosing the menorah as a symbol of the state is so meaningful and so on the mark for what the state of Israel should be today, at least it strives to be. And that's the answer in Pasuk Hey. Vayana malach adover b'yivomer elai halei yedata mahim ha'edef omar lo adoni. The malach says the answer, don't you know what these are? He says, I don't know. Very much like Yirmiyahu. Pasuk Vav. Vayana v'yivomer elai demor. Zed v'ar shevel zruvavel demor. This is God's message to Zruvavel. Remember what the message to Yeshua? The Yeshua has to have returned to God, lead the Beit HaMikdash, judge the people properly, keep his laws, guard God's laws, etc. And then they'll be able to work in the Mikdash. God has a message to Zerubbabel, who's supposed to be, now he was governor, hopefully he'll become king after this big upheaval would take place. Zed Bar Shem Zerubbabel anymore. Lo b'chayel v'lo b'cholach ki b'ruchi amar Shem Tzvot. Now, the word chayel, how would you translate the word chayel? So the final bit. Let's see how they do in the English here. Someone tell me, how would you translate the word chayel? What do you think it meant? Okay. Okay. We'll talk about valor in a minute. Strength. Okay. What type of strength? What do we use the word chayel usually refer to in modern day Hebrew? Okay. Exactly. But people talk about army. People talk about military strength. Or an Asian chayel is a woman of valor. I want to look at the English here for a minute. It says here, not by might or by power, okay? But by my spirit, my might. Okay, here's the word might. I tend to disagree. I'll show you a beautiful example of the word chayel, if you have your chumash with you. Look in Parshat Ekev, in Sefer Dvarim. Look at chapter 8 in Sefer Dvarim, Parashat in Sefer Dvarim, where it talks about Moses reminding the people about 40 years in the desert, how God took care of them, and gave them the man, and I gave them the man. And then he tells them, because in Pasuk Zayin, it says, why did I put you through the desert? Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'echa Eretz Tover Eretz Nachalei Mayim, Eretz Chita V'Sarah, God bring you to the land flowing with milk and honey. And then Vachata V'Savata, there are Sukkim you're all familiar with, Pasuk Yud, again, Perek Chet and Dvarim, Pasuk Chet, Perek Chet and Sefer Dvarim, Pasuk Yud, Vachata V'Savata, Yivrach Hashem Elokecha. And then he says, Yisham Elecha, Pen Tishkach Hashem Elokecha, V'tishmor Mitzvotav Yishvotav, Kukatav Hashem Elokecha, be careful not to forget God's law. Listen to this exact same thing as Zechariah, and why Zechariah uses these words. Okay? Pen Tochav V'Savata, maybe you're going to become too prosperous, you'll eat and drink, U'vatim Tavim Tizneh V'Yashrafta, you might become too, build too many houses. Here's the fear, you're going to come trying to visit Israel, God's saying, you come to Israel in the desert, you needed God. In the land of Israel, you at first glance, it may look like you won't need God. God can give you land. The land will give you everything. It will give you prosperity. It's land flowing in milk and honey. Land missing nothing. Remember, Eretz Asher Lo Tachzak Kol Ba'am. That's how great the land is. Another fear. Ten Tochav Savata. You might become over-prosperous, maybe affluent, and build too many big houses. U'b'chav B'tzon Chayi B'yun. Your livestock, your stock will become. You have too much plenty. And you become haughty. You're going to forget the God that took you out of Egypt. He took you through the desert, he gave you the man, etc. And then listen carefully to the last line. After all this, what will happen? See the word kochi? It's my own strength. Right. And my own hand, to gain the ability to do this chayel. Chayel here doesn't mean army at all. It means prosperity. It means wealth. It means an abundance of wealth. It's prosperity that turns into affluence. He says, again, I'm talking about the army. It's talking about people too affluent in their day-to-day life. Remember your God who gave you the power to do chayel. Looking at Parashat Pasuk Yud in Dvarim, I'm convinced that Zechariah is referring to these psukim, and my opinion, there's no doubt about it, that the nevuah of Zechariah, lo v'chayel v'lo v'koach kim ruchi, is exactly Parashat in Sefer Dvarim, Parashat Ekev, which is a famous speech by Moshe Rabbeinu, and I want to talk about that because that's our midrash for tonight. What in essence is Chayyeh's message? Because you might understand Chayyeh saying, don't have Chayyeh on Donosah. By the way, someone said woman of valor being Chayyeh. I disagree with that translation. If you look at Eshet Chayyeh, she's not a woman, I mean, she might be a woman of valor, but that's not what Eshet Chayyeh means. Chayyeh means someone who has an abundance, a lot. If you look at the list of the things she's doing, she's what they call nowadays a superwoman. She's got, she's running businesses, she's got a whole, she's running a household, she's making investments, she's got industry going on, just read everything she's going on. It's a woman who's doing a lot, who's very involved in accomplishing a lot and running a lot of things. The Chayyeh is the abundance in many ways. So again, remember, lo b'chayv lo koch kim bruchi amash, now go back to Chayyeh. What's Chayyeh saying? This return, this, I think he's referring to what Haggai was talking about. What was Haggai talking about? If you build a temple, your prosperity will return. And your military and your sovereignty will return. What's Zerubbabel saying? What's God telling Zerubbabel, who's supposed to be the next king, or the next person who's going to lead the people after this upheaval takes place? What's his message? Lo b'chayv v'lo b'koach kim bruchi. I don't think he's saying it won't be chayv v'lo b'koach. The way I understand it is that it won't be only chayv and only koach kim bruchi. The same thing in Sefer Dvarim. What's happening? God isn't saying don't be prosperous and don't be wealthy and don't be strong. He's saying don't make that the goal. Instead, the goal is to follow God. Because if you don't have chayv and koach, you can't be a nation. And that's exactly the message of modern day Zionism, religious Zionism, is we're not saying being Jewish is only about ruach. We're not saying Jewish is just cut yourself off from all the mazeh, don't be involved in anything with the state, with the people, simply sit and learn all day or be spiritual day, live out in a monastery and cut yourself off from the world. It is exactly the opposite. Be involved. God's giving you a land flowing in milk and honey, a land which you'll have chayl and koach. So the question is what you do with it. And there's so much an emphasis, especially, he's not saying Haggai's wrong, but it might be misunderstood. There's so much of an emphasis of the need to return to statehood, to return to sovereignty, return to prosperity, that people might think that that's a goal in itself. Chayyeh's answer is that chayyeh and koach, which is critical to becoming a nation and being a model nation, to being somebody, is not the goal in itself. It's only a vehicle to reach the higher goal of being a nation representing God with ruach. And therefore, he says, "Lo b'chayv lo b'koach kim bruchi." He's saying it's not only about chayyeh and only about ruach, but it's with ruach, but it's and not only that chayyeh and koach, it's about ruach, the spirit behind the Jewish people. And that's what God's looking for in the return to Bayit Sheni. Okay, this big mountain. When something's a big mountain, it's something hard to climb, hard to map, hard to get up to. This big mountain can be a plane to Zerubbabel. That's a difficult. The commentators have a big argument over exactly how to translate this thing. But something in this stone. That was the path of Zerubbabel, which looks like a big mountain to climb, can turn to a level thing which he can watch. But he'll be able to make this excellent stone, this Eben Chayin, I think, is referring to the Mikdash, not just the Mikdash he's building, but the nation that he's building. But it'll be an Eben Chayin, or Eben, that everyone's looking up to and rejoicing and saying how beautiful it is. I think that's referring to what the Jewish people need to be. So this thing right now is down and doesn't look like much. This building that you're building, this Mikdash, which will be the center, and the city that's going to be rebuilt, this can be a sign of beauty, a temple that all the nations will look up to. And that's God's hope for Bayit Sheni. One last line, and Pasachet, Vayit Varshem Elayin Lamor, Didei Zerubbabel Yisdor Et HaBayit Hazeh. In case anyone had a question about who built the second temple, it's beyond any doubt Zerubbabel. Remember, Kei Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, Kei Chedim Nesatit. It wasn't Ezra Nechemi who built it. It's in the book of Ezra Nechemi, the story, but the person who built it is Zerubbabel. The Adaptive Atzana, Zerubbabel will build this house, and he'll finish building it. The Adaptive Keshem Tosh Shachani Elechem. Remember, again, it's taking a diabolist, they just broke ground, and said, Zerubbabel, he's the one who laid the foundation stone, but he's also going to finish it. He'll build this house, and you'll know that God sent me. And then, Kimi Baz Yom Ktanot. See that statement in Pasuk Yud? You know what that means, Mi Baz Yom Ktanot? Who's making fun of these small days? People are being sarcastic. People say, what is this? This is a joke. This is nothing. How can this be a big nation? Kimi Baz Buz. Buz is like mockery. quickly King Lafri exists as a young son of his mother. All those people, the son Chuvarot, Eben Abdil, the Azur Babel, Shiva Elene Hashem, Himoshitim Bechol Aret, this beautiful stone that Tari will be able to build, they'll be able to go around and bring beauty and splendor in all through the land. And then who are these two Zeitim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, then Vamayla, Mashnei Zeitim Eile, where are these two olive branches? To the right of the menorah, to the left, Vanshini Vamayla, Mashnei Shibulei Zeitim, who are these? And God asked, don't you know again who they are? And then, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yomrei Eilai, Elu Shnei B'nei HaYitzar, Omdim Al Adon Kol Ha'aretz. These are God's two helpers, that's Yeshua and Zerubbabel, who are going to be God's vehicles to get this accomplished in the land. Then he has another vision, he says in Megillah Afa, and in Perek Hei, in Perek Vav, and finally in the end of Perek Vav, one last line, and we're finished with this section, the very end of Perek Vav, there's seven nevuot altogether of Zechariah, where the menorah is the middle one. There's three nevuot before the menorah on Perek Dalet, and three visions he has. Seven visions that Zechariah has, which also form the menorah. So beautiful that in the middle vision, the three visions before the menorah, and three visions after the menorah in Perek Dalet, with all seven visions of Zechariah form a type of the menorah. But the last line in Perek Vav, which is the last vision in the second year of Dayadesh, in this set of visions in Parking Aleph through Vav, says the father's Urchokim Yavo Uvanu Bechal Hashem, people even far away are going to come. Build God's house. You'll know that God's sending me. And then the caveat on the whole thing. All this will take place only on the condition that you follow God. So I think I hope my point is clear about Zechariah. Zechariah has a vision of greatness, a vision that the Beit Sheni can be greater than the Beit Rishon. But it's all on the condition that people not just follow God and keep his laws, but they find a proper blend between Chayil and Koach and Ruach. That's the challenge nowadays, the state of Israel. It's also the challenge back then in the beginning of Beit Sheni. Now, let's go back now to our Hanukkah story. And let me get my source sheet up here. Let's go back to the Hanukkah story and try to understand. We talked about Hanukkah before Hanukkah. We talked about Hanukkah on Hanukkah, where Hanukkah on Hanukkah was the return of the Hashem line, the return to the sovereignty, the return to that was the first time that even these nevuot in the time of Zechariah weren't fulfilled. In the time of Haggai and Zechariah, in the time of Zerubbabel, they weren't fulfilled. Several hundred years later, with the Hasmonean revolt, the first time that Zechariah's nevuot were fulfilled, we saw that in Rashi last week, was the time of the Hashmonai. So let's take a look at I'm going to share the screen now. I'm going to move my screen to to our source sheet, and we're going to go over all the points that we saw, and see how that's going to help us understand Hanukkah today. What happened to my presenter? I lost my presenter, right? So we'll just do it. I hope you have your sheet with you. We'll just follow it together. I'm going to read. Go back to the source sheet. I want to go over the outline to review what we talked about in this week and last week. We talked about in Roman numeral one, number one, we saw how the day of the 24th of Kislev was breaking ground on the Second Temple and its meaning in the book of Haggai, the return of the sovereignty and prosperity if you follow God. In light of the period of Shivat Zion, the time of despair, that was last week's share, and we use that to understand this week. Then we saw Zechariah, and we saw how those prophecies of Zechariah were not fulfilled in the time of Zerubbabel. Rather, they were fulfilled in the time of in the time of the Hashmonai. And that's why we saw last week a little bit the dedication of the temple on the 25th of Kislev. It's defilement by the Hellenists of the 25th Kislev, and rededication on the 26th of Kislev wasn't just a accidental event, it just so happened to be on that day. That day was important from the very beginning. It's a way of saying that God's hand was in those events. And saying that by dedicating on the 26th of Kislev, we're saying that God's fulfilling in the Haggai and Zechariah through the Hashmonaim. That's what we saw in Rashi and Haggai. So then we saw how a month earlier, Megillat Tanit had come back and restored the Mikdash, and they picked the date on purpose. And we talked about the, now we're going to talk about Masechet Shabbat, Menes Pach HaShemen, and what happened since Josephus. Okay. The source I want to look at now, very quickly, is what happened after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. There's a quote from Josephus, I'm not sure it should be on the, actually it's not on that source sheet, but it was on the source sheet. Josephus, I'm sure you've heard of, he is a historian who used to be, worked for the Romans before, he was part of the Israeli army, he was part of the Great Revolt against Rome, but he's living during the time of the Great Revolt and the destruction of the First Temple. If you remember, in the Book of Maccabees, there's no mention of the miracles of the Pach HaShemen at all. But the reason for Hanukkah is because of the military victory. The Rambam also talks about the return to sovereignty for over 200 years in Bayit Sheni. That's a big deal. The reason for Hanukkah, even in the not in a miracles of the menorah, we would have celebration of Hanukkah. It would have been a holiday like all the other holidays in Bayit Sheni, Migilat Tanit, a national holiday of Bayit Sheni, the day they rededicated the temple. But all the other days in Migilat Tanit, like Hanukkah, were annulled when the second base of Mikdash was destroyed. And the question that the Gemara thing is talking about, and the question we all have is, why celebrate Hanukkah after Hanukkah? Why celebrate Hanukkah after the Second Temple was destroyed? I understand Hanukkah being a celebration during the Second Temple period, but what's the meaning of Hanukkah after Bayit Sheni is destroyed? Anyone want to give a quick little answer? I mean, I think the answer is going to be simple now. But what would be the meaning of keeping Hanukkah after? Why celebrate the dedication of the Temple that's destroyed already? If the whole purpose of Hanukkah is the dedication of the Second Temple, and that's the only meaning of the holiday, what would be the meaning of keeping Hanukkah as a celebration even after the Second Temple is destroyed? Anyone want to give a guess or anything? Okay. Yeah, so that's the... Okay. We'll finish up and we'll be done in 2 or 3 minutes. Again, remember the Mikdash, it'll be a holiday of hope, and that's what we're going to throw in the next Pach HaShemen. What's Hanukkah going to be about? Hanukkah is going to be about it can't be about just simply dedicating the Second Temple because that's gone. But just like Hanukkah was meaningful before Hanukkah, before the Hasmonean revolt, it's also going to be meaningful after the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. Because if I go back to the very basic idea of Chagai Tzarim, the idea of hope in time of darkness, the idea in Jewish history that not every generation in Jewish history we can fulfill our goal of being a nation representing God, not every generation we were privy to having sovereignty and having prosperity, but the hope that one day we'll return to that and know how to use it, that's something to make a holiday every year about. And if the purpose of Hanukkah now is no longer celebrating what we accomplished, but returning to the hope of what needs to be, and putting a message of what we need to do when that comes back, then again, having a holiday in the darkest time of the year, and the ritual mitzvah of Ner Ishu Beit Ho, now makes a lot of sense. And Josephus writes about, when he talks about the story of Hanukkah in 200, in the Antiquities, he writes about the story, he says, from that time to his time, to after the Churban, we call this a holiday of lights. He says, I'm not sure why, but he says, it seems to be, it's a sign of hope. Because back then, our hopes were achieved against all these odds. And if Chazal picked the darkest time of the year, that was last week's year, we talked about how the last week in Kislev is the darkest time of the year in a lunar, that's the winter solstice on a lunar Jewish calendar. The last week is the darkest night of the month, is the last week of the month, and the darkest time of the year is the end of the ninth month, between the ninth and the tenth month. And therefore, in the darkest time of the year, what was the original mitzvah? Net Rishu Beit Ho. Every family lit what I call a Yahrzeit candle. Every family lit a candle in their home, put it a sign of hope. And then later on, in Masechet Shabbat, we talk about how that mitzvah went to everyone lit a candle. And then we get to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where we added a candle every day. Or made one candle less every day, and I think that reflects exactly the membership of Adam HaRishon, days getting longer, days getting shorter. Both reflect the end of the winter solstice and the beginning of the dark times are over. And now lights stop beginning, things are getting lighter and lighter. And that's the same idea. And therefore, the emphasis of Hanukkah, because of the idea of light in time of darkness, in the eyes of the rabbis, the meaning of Hanukkah now moves from the military victory to the message of Tzarim. To the message of the menorah, that's why it stops off. And putting the emphasis of Hanukkah on the menorah of Pach HaShemen, and now all of a sudden the emphasis of Hanukkah is made Pach HaShemen. Remember, what's the miracle of the Pach? If you talk about the idea of hope, if you look at the Gemara in Shabbat, the miracle wasn't that the menorah lit for 8 days. I think we talked about this last time. Let's not just review it quickly. The miracle wasn't that the menorah lit for 8 days. If you look carefully in the Gemara in the Masechet Shabbat, then instead bonus, the miracle was in the Pach, and they lit from it for 8 days. Every day they poured they filled up the menorah with the pach. In the morning, they would extinguish the menorah because the mitzvah is lighted from evening to morning, and they light it, fill it up, and light it again the next night and the next night. The miracle, though, was in the pot. They were able to fill up the pot. I mean, they were able to fill up the menorah from this pot in a container of oil was a miracle. And who had a similar miracle like that in the time of Tanakh? Anyone remember? Back in Sefer Melachim, there's a miracle just like that, where a little container of oil was able to help someone in trouble. Okay? There was also, the Isha from the Bnei Nevim, Perek Dalet, in Sefer Melachim Bet. There's a Isha from the Bnei Nevim, whose husband was a Navi who died, who passed away, and the creditor was coming to take away her two sons. She had nothing left. She couldn't pay her debts. They were taking her children away. Her husband was lost. She was depressed, distraught, terrible condition. What was her hope? What do you have? He said, I have a little container of oil. And for that container of oil, she was able to fill up oil from all the kidding from her neighbors and able to pay off all of her debts. And again, there is a little asuch shemen. It's a symbol of hope in time of darkness. And that alone explains what the miracle is about and how important that miracle is and what it symbolizes. Again, whether it's a miracle that happened, a miracle that the rabbis used to explain the idea, that's totally irrelevant. The reality of what happened is that what Chazal are emphasizing in there is the deeper meaning of Hanukkah, where the return to sovereignty and the return to prosperity has to be understood as a vehicle through which we become a nation representing God. But if it's not followed with Ruach, if it's not followed with return to God at the same time, then the same thing happens to the Hashmonaim, who they became corrupt and they became stukim and they became fighting with one another and only worried about their own pride, etc. The Hashmonaim, 2-3 generations later, they also became corrupted, and they put all the emphasis on Chayil and Koach and not on Ruach, and that brought down the Second Temple and that glorious times of the Second Temple. So should we return to Chayil and Koach, like we have in our time, the message of Sharia and the Menorah Tzadik Knesset, I think, is the most appropriate message. So that's our Hanukkah Shir in a nutshell. Hope we got the main points across. But I think Hanukkah nowadays, especially after the last 50 years, 100 years, the return to sovereignty in the State of Israel, the return to prosperity, what we do with that prosperity, if there's one holiday that's meaningful, not just in Bayit Sheni, but also in what we call nowadays Bayit Shlishi, or the modern-day Shivat Zion, for it to be successful, I think Zechariah has a message that we all have to pay a lot of attention to. And the fact that it was picked as the symbol of the State of Israel, I don't know how prophetic that was, but I think it's right on the mark. It's a shame that it's not followed that much. Okay, next week we're going to go back to the Midrash on the weekly Parsha. We'll be on Vayigash. I'm going to hopefully I'll be able to send out a source sheet. I got to find out. You know what I'm going to do? On the website, I'm going to make a file every week that's going to be like this. It's going to be called ETM 1. You can just check. That's going to be the link. It's not there yet, but I'm going to make sure that the source sheet will be there every week. That'll be the name of the source sheet. I'll just replace it every week. There'll be, you see the website there, I'll put there again. There'll be .org/SS source sheet in ETIM 1 PDF. That'll be the source sheet for this year every week. So if you want to, in case you don't get it by email, it'll be up probably by Wednesday or Thursday. It should be up on Wednesday or Thursday every week, and you can just download it, and then you'll see it, and you'll be ready for the shir. What we do every week is we'll take a certain midrash, either on that week's parsha, probably the next week's parsha, and try to understand how Chazal understood a deeper insight into Chumash every week. If you have any questions, I'll stay online, but the shir's over. Now I take questions, and if anyone has any questions, comments. Okay. Just bring some snow when that one's coming, yeah? That'll be good. Let's see who I know online. I didn't see other names this week. Well, someone's in the front this week. And Spiegel and Reno. Okay. Anyway, have a Chag Sameach. And you guys have a good night. And I think someone here is in the front, so we can have a good day.